This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 68, page 582 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 68, reading from verses 1 to verse 19. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God, but may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to the Lord, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you went out before your people, O God, when you marched through the wasteland, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor. The Lord announced the word, and great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings and armies flee in haste. In the camps men divide the plunder. Even while you sleep among the campfires, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow fallen on Zalmon. The mountains of Bashan are majestic mountains. Rugged are the mountains of Bashan. Why gaze in envy, O rugged mountains, at the mountain where God chooses to reign, where the Lord himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascend on high, you led captives in your train. You received gifts from men, even from the rebellious, that you, O Lord, might dwell there. Praise be to the Lord, our God, our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you. Just, 2 weeks ago, we came back from a holiday in Wales. And during that time, we had a lovely time. The weather was so good. And during that time, we attended the funeral of my aunt. She was a great, great grandmother, a lovely lady. And it was a joy to meet the family and to recall so much history. Some of my cousins, I haven't seen them for 40, 50 years because they've come back from all over the place. So it was an amazing family occasion. One of the hymns we sang at her funeral was, "Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." And I took that song a bit to heart, really, because I started to number, or try to begin to number, the blessings that God gives us. And I was drawn to this psalm that we've read this morning, Psalm 68, because in this psalm, David is numbering his blessings, really. He is saying, Lord, you were so high and holy, and yet you were so near to us. And you were particularly near to us at times of trouble. And he mentions, you are like a father to the fatherless, and you are a defender of widows. What a blessing it is to have holy God, God who is sovereign over all things, and yet he's near to us. We can enjoy his company. He's like a father to us. David went on to number the salvation that God had brought, how they'd had many difficulties, and yet he had saved them out of them all. The many people who had opposed Israel, their enemies, and yet God had delivered them from them all. He numbered the provision that God had made for him. Your people settled, and your bounty, O God, because you provide for the poor. The protection. 17, the chariots of God are 10,000 of thousands and thousands of thousands. Lord, thank you for your safety. Thank you for the security that we have in you. And he's numbering all these blessings. But the one I just want to focus on for these few minutes this morning is the blessings that are mentioned there in verse 18. When you ascended on high, you led captivity captive. I'm reading it from the old translation because I think it's so much better at that point. The NIV says you led captives in your train, but the words are actually, you led captivity captive. All those things that were opposed to us, all those people who were opposed to us, now you've captured them and we are safe. And you receive gifts from men, even from the rebellious, that you, O Lord God, might dwell there. Praise be to the Lord, to the God of our salvation, who daily bears our burdens. And David is going through this list, and he is saying, wow, what a blessing that is. And it's an exercise, isn't it, for us to do. Sit down and to count our blessings and to name them. Write it down, name them one by one. This psalm was written at the occasion of the Ark of the Covenant arriving in Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant, that symbol of God's presence with his people, started its journey on Mount Sinai. Traveled across the desert. Fell into the hands of the enemy, the Philistines. They gave it back because it brought nothing but trouble to them. And it had temporary dwellings over the years in different places in Israel. But now at last, when Jerusalem is established, David and the procession bring the Ark of the Covenant up from where it was in the house of Obed-Edom, and they bring it to Jerusalem, to the place where God has put his name. The place where God is, this Ark of the Covenant ascends the hill of Jerusalem. And they rejoice and they sing and they celebrate. If we read the account in 2 Samuel, right? It says, every six paces they stopped.
Every six paces they stopped and they brought the ark up to Jerusalem. They stopped and they said, God's been for us. And they celebrated.
And we even read that David danced before the Lord. Hey. That's a bit much, isn't it? Fancy dancing before the Lord. But such was the excitement and the wonder of this occasion, that this ark that had been with them all across their history, from Sinai, when God gave the law and the thunder and the lightning and they couldn't come near, now the ark is formed and built and they bring it across the desert. And now at last, 450 years almost later, it's coming home. It's arriving home. And there's celebration. And they remember the victories. They remember those enemies personified by the Philistines very often. These Philistines were now captured. And as they came up, they led captivity captive. I love that phrase. Led captivity captive. And to celebrate the occasion, David gives gifts. You read about it in the opening chapters of 2 Samuel. He gives gifts. They all went home with these gifts. Wow, what a day this has been. We celebrated God is with us. And these gifts, a full course meal. They had the starters, they had the main course, they had the dessert, they had everything. Whoa, let's celebrate. But here's the amazing thing. Although this was a wonderful occasion, God is saying something else here. And he is saying this, he inspired David to record this psalm in a particular way that would point to an even greater meaning. Yes, this is marvelous. What he's done for us as a nation, Israel. But listen, is there something else here? Well, there is. Because the Apostle Paul takes up this same thought in the book of Ephesians. And he says, listen, do you know when Christ died? You know when Christ died? He defeated our enemies. He defeated them. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He defeated Satan. And on the third day, he rose victorious over death. And 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. And as he ascended into heaven, it was a bit like David going up to Jerusalem, ascending up, and those that made us captives were now captured themselves. And he rose up to heaven triumphant with victory over our enemies. He led captivity captives, and you received gifts. And just like David, Paul is writing this, read it in Ephesians 4. Paul is writing this and he is saying, you know, just like David ascended Zion's hill, taking captive his captures, and just like David gave gifts, so our Savior has ascended the heavenly Jerusalem. And those enemies of ours are defeated. We are safe. The chariots of God are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You are safe. And as he ascended into heaven, the Father and the Son gave gifts to us, gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, he hasn't come yet, the Holy Spirit, because I'm not yet glorified. I haven't yet ascended to the heavenly Jerusalem. But when I ascend there, the Father will send him in my name. And, you know, as believers this morning, we have been given this amazing gift. In the light of the victory, in the light of our Savior ascending into heaven, we've been given this amazing gift. This gift which really encompasses every gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's not, and Paul goes on to enumerate some of the major gifts, enumerate gifts. Like, he's given some evangelists, he's given some pastors, teachers, he's been given some administrators, and so on, so on, so on, so on. But that's not an exhaustive list. The thing is, every single one of us this morning, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we've been given a gift. Yes, the gift of the Holy Spirit, but a particular gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit to enable us to recognize that gift and to use that gift for the benefit of the church, for the building up of one another, to encourage one another, so that we all come to completion in Christ. Imagine now, right? Imagine, and I'll finish with this. Imagine David, there he is in Zion, or in Jerusalem, and the people come before him and he says, there's your loaf of bread and there's your cake and there's your don't you meat.
I give you a gift. I want to know my gift
and I want to use it. That's why he's given it to me, to use it. Not for my own self, but to use it for the church, to use it for each other, to use it for the glory of God. When he ascended, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And we can face the future knowing the enemy is defeated, we are safe, and he has given us all that we need to face tomorrow. He has. And I find that so wonderful, because I was saying to some group the other day that I'm on the Lewis, right? I'm on the Dart, and I'm standing up because it's packed, crowded. And then some young fella stands up for me to sit down. I feel so... No, you made a mistake. I'm all right. No, go on, old man. You sit down there now. I don't know whether it's just the fact that you get older and the world seems a scarier place, doesn't it? It does. We live in a restless world. And who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen in the States, in the UK, at this time, with Iran. There's so much happening. But we can face tomorrow knowing that we are safe in Christ. And that he is going to take care of us, and he is going to provide for us, and he is going to guide us, and he has given us all that we need. Because he's given gifts to his church. And we are blessed. Amen.